Scripture reading will be taken from Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which is already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Jake, thanks for that reading. Dave, the song, Mark, for that well word of prayer. Let's be about the word of God. Titus chapter 2. Let's start there with Titus chapter 2 this morning. Good to have everyone here. Good to see everyone. Appreciate the effort made by some, but it's not so easy to be out. We're glad that you're here to worship with us in spirit and in truth. A beautiful word today. Titus chapter 2. We begin there, verse 11. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope," he says, "in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." If I were to ask you, what is wrong with the world today, what would you say? What would you say is wrong with the world today? It doesn't take much to see that there are significant problems in the world today. You can turn on the news or you can go to news.com and you would certainly see that our society is in trouble. Now, it's not the first time that our society, or for that matter any society, has been in trouble with all the things that are going on that are wrong in our society. We see terrible and awful things on the TV, on the computer, and we hear and see things that testify that I believe that we're in trouble. It doesn't take long. There's shootings in our schools that leave kids wounded and even dead. There are stories of drug and alcohol abuse, addiction, and suicide resulting in those things. There are folks losing their jobs. There are jobs going overseas that will never come back again, and folks are left without work and despondent and sad about that and really don't know where to turn. And there seems to be a cynicism in the air. I don't know that just about anything and everything that you bring up can be argued about or discussed in a way that is cynical and disagreeing. There are many places where clinics and hospitals are full of really folks that are sad. And they're depressed. And I really, what's wrong? What is wrong with the world that we live in? Now, being the good Bible students that we are, we would answer that question with a barrage of scripture. Well, people don't care about God. People don't care about God's Word. People don't listen to God's Word. People don't study God's Word. People don't worship or care to worship God as they should. People don't go to church anymore. All of those things are wrong. And all those things are true. But what I want to do this morning, really, I want to sit right down in the text here, because I want to know, and I believe what the world is missing, we're missing hope. And when you look at what the text says, what Paul says here, and ties the past with this, verse 11, "The grace of God has appeared to the present," verse 12, that's what we're doing now. So all of that leans forward with the expectation of the future in which all of us have hope. What the world needs, I believe, what the world so desperately desires and doesn't know, what the world needs, what I need, what you need, because I believe we need hope. Now, not long ago I had a lesson on counting our blessings. Hope you remember that. But this morning I want to call attention to a blessing I think that a lot of times gets passed by. I don't think we think enough about the blessings that we have in Christ. I don't think we think enough about the privileges that we have in Christ and how great and marvelous all of those things really are. Paul says to the Colossian brethren, he says that we ought to abound in thanksgiving. And I made the point in the lesson, I don't know how we can abound in thanksgiving. I don't know how we can be a thankful people unless we really do count those blessings and know what those blessings are. I think we need to open our eyes to the power. I think we need to open our eyes to the importance of the blessing of hope. Now, every Christian has hope. We all think, yep, I'm a Christian, I have hope. I have hope of heaven. We all pray that. But sometimes I'm afraid we just shut that all down deep in our mental process, and it just lays there. It really doesn't do much for us. Yeah, we all got the hope of heaven. We say that every once in a while, but hope gives us hope. Now, this morning I want to look at hope. And I want to look at all that means. Now, the first thing that I want us to think about is, because I believe that we take it for granted, I believe we don't think about it as much as we should, we need to rediscover hope. We need, as brethren, to look at hope and to expect something from hope. All of us. Now, notice Romans chapter 15. Let's go there. Really get your Bibles out. Load the Bibles up. Get something from the pew, because at this point we're going to be making a lot of scripture here. Romans chapter 15. And we're just going to use the New Testament. Paul writing about the very thing that we're talking about. Romans 15, verse 4. It's important to know, really, that more than half the Bible was written to sustain hope, to have hope. Verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. He's talking about the Old Testament. So that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, those Scriptures, we might have hope. That's the Old Testament. That's what the Old Testament is supposed to be giving us. That's what the Old Testament is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be building our hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice that. You start talking about the big issues of Christianity. You start talking about faith. You start talking about love. Hope really keeps company with the really big deals in the New Testament. He says, and now these remain. Verse 13. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Hope is considered one of the cornerstones of our discipleship as Christians. 2 Thessalonians. Turn with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. He says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and has given us eternal comfort and, he says, good hope by grace. Hope is tied to grace. The Scripture teaches hope is tied to grace itself. Turn the page over. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Hope is tied directly to Jesus Christ. Well, Titus chapter 1. Turn there. Titus chapter 1. Notice verse 1. Paul again, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised ages long ago. Hope beside of Jesus, hope, according to Paul, rests on God's promises. It's a special hope. Peter talks about it. 1 Peter chapter 1. He deals with it a lot. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 21. He says this, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Hope matters. Hope is significant. Hope is the cornerstone of who we are. It is what we are. I want you to know that those passages, we just barely touch the hem of the garment of how often hope is mentioned in the Bible. In the New Testament alone, hope is mentioned 70 times. If you think about the core of Christianity, think about the core of Christianity. What does it rest on? It rests, and it's hard to say that it doesn't rest, everything that we believe is based on what? Our faith and our trust in God. But if we have that faith, what does it engender us to do? What does that cause us to happen? I like what Steve Patton wrote, Marshall's son. He said, hope is continual theme throughout the Bible, and it is closely interwoven with faith and trust and waiting on the Lord. In fact, these themes are inseparable. If we believe what God says, then we hope for the final fulfillment of what He has promised. Hope is significant. Do you see and understand how vital hope is? But that's why it's important that we clarify when we talk about hope. Hope to the Christian is vital. Hope to the Christian is a living hope. But our hope is different from the world's hope. How do you view hope? Well, I hope I get that raise, don't you? Huh? I hope that it doesn't rain this afternoon. No chance of that on that picnic we're going to have. I hope that the New York Yankees win it all again, Nolan. I hope that my spouse recognizes all the hints I've been throwing at her because of those sales of that pro shop. That's the world concept of hope. That's how the world thinks about hope. We use hope in a lot of different ways. But when you use it that way, which a lot of us think that's what hope means, that's just an expression of maybe personal desire. I wish it would happen. So I don't know if it's going to happen, but I wish it's going to happen. So I wish and I hope. And so what do we do with those kind of wishes? Well, we throw the hope button. I hope those things are going to happen. Well, that's not what the Bible says hope is at all. Hope in the Bible is not wishful thinking. That's not what hope is. The Greek word, if you go down into that, means it's just not a fanciful way to think. It's just not something that it is a fantasy or I wish it would. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at how the Bible speaks about biblical hope. Notice verse 1. The writer says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. The Bible uses hope to talk about the future promises of God. What God will do. What God has promised. That's our hope. It is the assurance of what we believe. It's confidence. It's certainty. It's certainty in God's promises because they're going to happen because God said they're going to happen. That's the hope that we have. The confidence that God's promises are going to be fulfilled. That's the Bible use of hope. One writer said this. In the Bible, hope is not wish projection. It is assurance of what will come to pass. Indeed, that's true. Hope is faith in the future tense. That's what hope's all about. And that's how exactly it is described in the Bible, Romans chapter 5. Notice how Paul builds on this. Watch how he links together faith and hope. Look at verse 1, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained an introduction by faith into His grace, in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Notice that. But he's trusting God now. He's looking forward to that, how it causes a look forward and having confidence in what God's going to do because we're trusting God. Verse 3. And not only this, but also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance. He's building perseverance, proving character. Proving character brings hope, he says. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. Do you see how different the biblical view of hope is and how different the world views hope? Totally opposite. The Bible's view of hope is not, I'm hoping that happens. It's not that at all. Hope is certainty. Because our certainty is based on what God has said. We trust Him. Biblical hope is a settled confidence. is a settled confidence in the things that God has promised He will do. Biblical hope is never, "I hope so." Biblical hope is, "I know so." I know that's going to happen. We believe it. We hope in it. It must happen. God said it. I believe it. And that does settle it. I have hope in those things. Not a wishful, I wonder hope, but I know hope. When we understand that, that becomes a powerful. I think that becomes a powerful driving force in our lives. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2 because it's where we begin. I think Paul helps best illustrate that, the original text we had there. We want to make sure that we are seeing the power of hope in our lives today. Notice again verse 13. He says, looking for the blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's the hope of Christ? What's your hope? It is the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that is coming back again. We're hoping for that. We're waiting for that. We have a settled confidence in that. We know that that day is coming. When the sky is going to be rolled back like a scroll. We know that our Lord and Savior will appear. We have a confident faith that Jesus is going to return. And we can talk about that for a long time. That's a huge day. All kinds of things are going to happen that day. We'll receive a resurrected body. Those who have died will be changed. Those that are alive and meet the Lord in the air, they'll be changed. Your body is going to be changed. That makes this day personal because it's going to directly involve you. You're going to have a redeemed, resurrected body. Now, we don't know everything about the resurrected body. It's not a bunch of disembodied spirits going around in the haunted house like you think. But that's not it. We're going to be redeemed on that day. What else is going to happen on that day? Well, we're going to recognize on that day that justice and righteousness is going to be realized on that day. Don't you hate it when the bad guy gets away? You know, I mean, you see it all the time. Some slipper lawyer, some technicality gets off, whatever. You can relax on that. Because on the day of the Lord, justice and righteousness will be handed out by just God. So, on the return of the Lord at the giant day, Jesus returns to get a resurrected body. Justice and righteousness is going to be served that day. It's an incredible day. But I need you to know that it's just not some day in the future. You know, a lot of times we talk about the Lord coming. It's always way down the road, is it not? The Lord can come back right now. The Lord can come back this afternoon. The Lord can come back in the morning. We're talking about when it's just a far distant, but that blessed hope of the appearing. Wow. How far is that? Huh? How far do you want it to be? Talk about that. That settled confidence of Jesus' return, that we'll receive that resurrected body, that justice will be carried out, righteousness will be realized. How am I living right now? How am I living right now? Am I changed? Am I different because of that? Do I realize that? You know, that's way down. That hope, but how can hope? How does that work for me now? How does the hope that the Bible talks about, how does that work for me now? Notice Romans chapter 15. I'm sorry, let's look at verse chapter 12. And I want to make this note. We'll make a few points here about how that hope is realized now. But I want you to realize hope is responsible for joy in your life. I don't think we count it or give credit to hope for the joy that we have in our lives. Notice what Romans 12 verse 12 says. Paul says, rejoicing in hope and patience in tribulation. Well, there's some joy there that's evidently caused by hope. Notice chapter 15, verse 13. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope gives us joy. Hope is so much better than happiness. Happiness depends on what's going on the outside. Some days we're happy because everything around us is happy. Some days we're sad because a lot of things around us are sad. The joy that is produced by hope doesn't depend on what's going on the outside. The joy that you have that's been given to you by hope is inside. It's inside. I love that. It can't be changed. So, no matter what happens to you, no matter what happens to you, no one can steal that joy. No one can take that joy from you that's been given to you because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Wow, think about that. That means that everything's going to be okay. That everything, no matter what happens to us in this life, is going to be okay. It's going to be more than okay. Because we know that we're going to be with God. It's going to be more than okay. And knowing that ought to motivate us to serve the Lord. Notice, John, 1 John chapter 3. By now, there's probably somebody saying, hope's everywhere in the Bible. Because it is. Look at verse 3, John, 1 John 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Why are we living the way we're living? Why do we get up here and try to stay awake during service and not sleep in? Why do we do that? Why do we do this? Because we have hope. We have hope. Why do we not indulge in simple pleasure? We have hope. We recognize the hope. We do those things because we have hope. We have hope in the return of Jesus Christ. We have hope that we're going to be saved. We have hope in the fact that we're living now with that hope. It especially changes what I'm doing. It changes what I'm tempted to do. 1 Thessalonians. Paul again, right, in chapter 5. Notice verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Think about that. Perhaps the most important piece of armor protects the head. What is that? Hope. Hope. You wear that hope. It gives you the motivation to live as you should, to be as you should, and to be what God has called us. First Peter. You ever notice that hope is the center of evangelism? I gotta admit, I've read this passage a gazillion times and I never connected the dots till this week. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Notice what Peter says. But sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart, always being ready to make a defense, give an answer, to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Notice that doesn't say you be ready to give an answer to that guy that asked you about instrumental music. Now you just be ready now to give an answer to that guy that believes faith only, that baptism is essential to salvation. You be ready to give an answer now. You be ready to give an answer to the guy about the one church concept and that denominations are all wrong. All those things are right. All those things are good. And we need folks that have the ability to do that and to give answers to that and how Christianity and what discipleship is really all about and how badly they've been adulterated and misshapen in the world. We need to do that. But I want you to look at that passage. That's not what that passage says. That's not what he's really talking about, is it? He says the disciples are going to live out in distinctive ways. Our life is going to be distinct. We're going to live in a distinctive way that's filled with hope so that people can look at your life and say, what is it about your life? Why do you live like you do? Why are you filled with the joy that you are? Why are you filled with the hope that you are? What gives with you? That's what Peter says about our hope. Not that so we're ready. You know what? I'm not sure going around acting like a giant Pharisee and looking more holier than thou are and putting our nose down to somebody else. I know more Bible than you, and you don't care about the truth. I'm not sure if that's the best tactic to get people asking me about my hope. We need to be careful of that. Our lives need to project a joy, a hope in serving God that would motivate somebody to ask you about your life. That's what Peter's talking about. What I need is, I need hope-filled life today that reaches men and women with the example that I set. Hebrews chapter 6. If in the beginning of this lesson I would have said to you, hope is like an anchor, you'd have said, boy, that's a great metaphor. It is a great metaphor because that's what the Holy Spirit uses. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. The writer says this, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have taken refuge with a strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope, we have an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. When Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, you know, you can count on your hope. You can count on your hope to hold you fast. You can count on your hope to tie you to heaven and to the realities of the return of Christ. You can count on your hope to give you the joy that you need. You can count on hope. You know, when you think about an anchor and the metaphor that's used, you know, it's where the storms are. The depth of the sea, the depth of the water where the anchor, it's standing firm. It's not moving. It is away from all the storms. It is away from all the troubles that we have. It's the hope that I can hold on to, that I know that God is going to do what He promised He will do, and that He's going to take care of me. But yes, it seems like, and I look around many ways in our society, it's unraveling. It is unraveling. But for the Christian, it's not. For us, it's not. And I believe the reason behind that is that we have hope. We have the hope to describe here. We are anchored to the one that went beyond the veil. Our hope is anchored to Jesus the Christ. Let me tie all this together by telling you a story about a famous woman from the 1950s, 100 years ago. Her name was Florence Chadwick. Household name in the 50s because, number one, she was a woman that was an athlete, which is unusual, and also she was a very good swimmer. She did all kinds of things. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel. She swam the Straits of Gibraltar. She did all kinds of things. Broke all kinds of records. In 1952, she decided to swim from California to Catalina Island. That's 21 miles. And so those waters are known for, they're cold, they're notoriously cold. And tides and different things, and yes, they are filled with not so friendly fish. But she began that swim. And she swam for 15 hours. And unfortunately, on the day that she decided to do that, heavy fall. So heavy that she could barely see the boat that was beside her and going with her. And she swam and she swam and she swam and she became utterly exhausted. And even though the people in the support boat kept telling her, you can do it, you can make it, the fall was just overwhelming. And she finally quit. And they pulled her up out of the water, and about 10 minutes after they pulled her up out of the water, the fall lifted, and she was a half a mile away from the island. She said, I didn't fail because of fatigue. I failed because of the fall. A couple months later, she swam it. But what beat her that day was that she got lost in the fall. The fall beat her. You know, we really live in fog times. And a lot of times, I see a lot of brethren getting fogged in by a lot of things that are going on in the world. And we get some funny ideas. We get some foggy ideas. And we wonder about some things. We get on social media and we complain about the fog. And we say different things about the fog. We talk about the fog. And sometimes we get discouraged. And we get down and we wonder sometimes if we're going to make it. But we're going to make it. We need to know that the Bible is clear about that. We're going to get through all the fog. But your hope is what's vital. And your hope must be anchored to Jesus Christ in order for that to happen. Let's understand what Bible hope is. And you need to understand that it truly is a blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's the gospel. Without obeying that, you have no hope. You may believe that you have hope. You may believe that you've done all the right things. But if you've not confessed Jesus as the Christ, repented of your sins, been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, not because you're already a Christian, because you're not. Jesus is very plain about that. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You want to go to heaven? You have no hope unless you've done that. That's the gospel. Each and every one of us must be obedient to the gospel. If you need the prayers of the church, please come. Together we stand and sing.